This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another interview looking ahead to the 2022 election cycle. Former House Republican leader Christine Drazen recently announced her run for governor, and she joins us now. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Well, we've got a crowded field already in both sides of the aisle. What led you to take this step?
You know, I am a lifelong Oregonian. I'm a small town girl. I'm originally from Klamath Falls. And I have seen the decline in our state, just like so many other Oregonians have felt like everybody at all levels, no matter what your life looks like, we all have to do what we can to step up and turn our state around. We're going on the wrong track, and single party control has been really, really harmful to our state. And we need folks to stand up and stand up for accountability and balance and to return our government back to the people. And that is what I intend to do.
Now, a number of people have already jumped in from the Republican side. Was this something you contemplated for a while before making this step?
You know, I am deeply committed to Oregonians and the future of our state, and I have been involved as the House Minority Leader, and I've been involved as a state representative doing what I can personally to try to restore some common sense inside Salem. And the opportunity to step up and run for governor in a year that Republicans have a real opportunity to provide balance in Salem, it really was an opportunity to do more and to serve more people and to really be a voice for those right now that are not being heard and are really being ignored by the super majority that's in Salem.
Now, with the Republicans that have already been announced for several months, what are you doing organizationally to kind of catch up?
Well, I am going to touch on every single part of this state that I can possibly fit, you know, the hours in the day. I want to introduce myself to Oregonians, and I am raising money, and I'm getting out in communities, and I'm inviting people to get to know me and frankly, to just better understand how it is that I can serve and what problems they want us to work on together. And I'm excited. I've been out. My first big road trip was Eastern Oregon. I'm going to be coming down to Roseburg around the week of the 25th, and I'm looking forward to being down there. And I'm going to have events and introduce myself. This has got to be the kind of race that means that Oregonians are put first. And so I'm excited to get out there and talk to Oregonians face to face.
So tell folks a little bit about your background before the legislature and then what you've done while you've been there.
When I was growing up, had the kind of family, I don't know if your family was like this, but my folks would all kind of hang out and sit around and talk about the good-for-nothing politicians who couldn't fix anything and didn't care about the people that they were elected to serve. That's how I grew up. And my family knew then what, you know, you and I know, that folks are supposed to be elected to lead, to solve problems, and they're supposed to make things better. But instead, here in Oregon, they grow government, they raise taxes, and more often than not, they make things worse. And so the opportunity to run for state representative in an open seat occurred a couple of years ago in my district, and I wanted to step in and make things better. So I made the decision to serve. And I was immediately following that first session elected House Republican leader. And in the course of that role, I had the opportunity to lead the Republican walkout in opposition to cap and trade, one of the worst bills we've seen in the state of Oregon in a while. There's been a lot of bad bills, so I guess that is, you know, there's a lot of competition for that title, but this was an especially bad piece of legislation, and we were calling on Democrats to allow Oregonians to just vote on it, just allow Oregonians to have a voice, and they refused to do that. And so I have been standing up to the special interest and entrenched Democrats in our state capitol, calling for them to return government back to the people. We know prices are rising. We know taxes are too high. The streets are lawless and our schools are a mess. And, you know, too many of our fellow citizens are sleeping in the cold. We don't need more of the same. We need to reverse the decline that we're in the middle of, and we need to put our state back on the right track. And the way to do that has been to jump in in Salem as a legislator, then as a Republican leader, and now as governor of the state of Oregon.
What are the top issues you will focus on if you're elected?
You know, education is, as I mentioned, a real mess. And it's time for us to keep our kids, commit that we're going to keep our kids in class full time. I'm going to support our police and hold criminals accountable for their crimes. And we have got to remember that Oregon can't just be one of the most beautiful states in the nation. It can't also be one of the most expensive states in the nation. We have got to roll back, increase costs. We have to make this a place where people can afford to put food on the table, where they can afford to live where they choose to live and support their families. So I'm committed to looking out for Oregonians that really need this state to be turned around.
What's your kind of overall vision for Oregon and where you would like to see it head?
We need folks to feel proud to be Oregonians again, and that's possible. We have some big problems that we can solve together. You know, we are not going to continue down the path where we treat police like criminals and criminals like victims. We are going to restore community safety. We're going to restore a focus on our schools that keeps politics at home and gives parents a forum to be heard. And we are going to support hardworking families and small businesses by reversing unnecessary regulations. And we have to end the lockdowns. We have to open Oregon for business. And that you can do on day one.
What about, you mentioned education. Talk more about some specifics and what you would like to see done with the state's education system.
Well, right now, Oregon's governor is our superintendent of public instruction. And under her leadership, she has really muddied the waters for what happens in our education system. They've abandoned graduation requirements. We have to restore graduation requirements. It doesn't help our future. It doesn't support our kids to lower the bar. Instead, we need to provide the supports that they require in the classroom. We need to actually understand what the COVID shutdowns did for their academic progress. Across the nation in states that have tested students following the COVID shutdowns, they found extraordinary and significant academic losses. In Oregon, they made the decision not to understand what those losses were. They didn't test kids when we came out of COVID in the same way, which means it's going to be pretty hard for us to be able to provide the in-classroom assistance that kiddos are going to need to get back on track. I'm committed to doing that. And as superintendent of public instruction, you have the opportunity to roll back the rules and the mandates that our current governor has placed into our classrooms, where kids' time is not necessarily spent doing, you know, math and reading and writing, and instead they have dedicated themselves to going above and beyond some of the basics that they need to be prepared to achieve their hopes and dreams for themselves. That's all regulation. That's all political agenda above the needs of our kids. And that's about leadership. That's not about the problems that we have. That's about leadership that hasn't solved those problems. We need a full school year. We need our kids to actually be in the classroom, in person, full time. And we need to use that time wisely to make sure that they are prepared to graduate and then move on either to continuing education, career education, college, or work. We need to keep our eye on the ball when it comes to our kids. And for too often, they have been the ones that have been harmed by these COVID shutdowns and the decisions of the current administration.
Tied into education, but also in other areas of government, is the public employees retirement system. That hasn't been talked about quite as much in recent years. But what's your evaluation of where that is and what might be coming in the future?
Yeah, that system has a direct impact on services. And that's really what I always look at that system for, is that, you know, our government committed itself to providing certain benefits for our public employees. We, in fact, are under a contractual obligation to fulfill that commitment. Along the way, the PERS board determines how we do that. What their assumptions are, you know, they have super smart actuarials that tell them whether or not that PERS fund is going to be sturdy and reliable for retirees or not. And then they adjust rates for public employers across the state. Hundreds of public employers, you know, fire districts, school districts, the state, local governments, they all have their PERS obligation determined by this board. Sometimes that means that the decisions that the PERS board makes will drive costs that will impact whether or not those local services are impacted. And that's the problem. And in a bunch of the basic assumptions that the PERS board makes will determine whether or not that fund looks like it's sturdy or not. Right now, we have a PERS fund that is funded, that is stable, that is providing benefits. We just need to make sure that the rates that get pushed down to local governments and other public service providers aren't so high that they start to impact how many teachers can be hired to hold class sizes down. And at this point, to me, that's got to be the focus.
Going to take a break. More with Christine Drazen, candidate for governor, when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn will have True Wealth Radio. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, a look at the Umpqua Fishery Enhancement Derby. Kim Lawler and Paul Beck will be in from the Douglas Timber Operators and those organizing this year's event. Former House Republican leader Christine Drazen running for governor with us today. Talk about what your thoughts are and what you would like to see Oregon's climate for business be like if you're elected.
You know, this probably won't surprise you, but Oregon is, in fact, one of the highest business tax states in the nation. So if you're fighting it out here in Oregon, you know, our government is not necessarily making it easy for you as a business owner and a person that provides jobs into these local communities. And we have got to turn that around. That means that we have got to reverse unnecessary and costly regulations that drive costs everywhere you turn around. I mean, if a business has to employ someone just simply to be responsive to regulations, then we have too much in that category for regulations for folks. That is for Oregon right now, we have got to reverse taxes, and we have got to reduce unnecessary regulations for business. We need to be a pro-business state. We need for people to know that we believe in jobs, we believe in the private sector, and that we want to encourage growth across the state for our economy, not just in the Portland metro region, but all corners of the state need to have the kind of opportunity that's provided when there's access to jobs. And right now, we have a very tight workforce where a lot of employers are having a hard time finding folks. And some of that has to do with workforce. Some of that has to do with having people trained to do the work that's in front of them. But more than anything else, our businesses need to be encouraged to stay in Oregon. Don't take your investment and go to another state. Stay here, grow your business here. We want you here. And we need those jobs and we need that investment.
Are you concerned about the companies that have left and the jobs that have already exited Oregon?
Oh, there has been a huge exit right now that I believe we can directly attribute to the business environment here. The regulatory environment plus the tax environment is pretty crushing right now for businesses. But all of that's about leadership. What you need is a change in leadership, and you actually can create an environment that encourages businesses to stay and respects the role that they play in providing local jobs and, you know, frankly, supporting public services through taxation. It all works together. We cannot have public services without good, strong businesses. And frankly, families don't have stability without jobs. We need the dignity of work. And so I am concerned about the number of folks that I've talked to that have made the decision to go to other states that are more business friendly, that have a better regulatory environment, and frankly, the states that have a better quality of life for their families. to have the opportunity to, you know, be able to control, you know, whether or not their kids are in school. And we can turn all that around with leadership. It's critical that we do. Oregonians are tired of this decade of decline, and I believe that together we can put Oregon back on the right track.
Now, in terms of voter registration, independents, non-affiliated voters have increased a lot. Democrats are still out there in front, and Republicans come in third overall. It's been a decade since a Republican had the governorship. Why do you think you can be the one to get in?
I believe that Oregonians care about solving these problems. We cannot expect to have a different result by doing the same thing over and over again. We have had Democrats serving in all of our statewide offices now for a long time. And in fact, they have not created a utopia in Oregon. It's quite the opposite. We have seen homelessness increase. We have seen taxation increase. We've seen crime increase. And we have seen outcomes for our kids in schools go down. So if I believe Oregonians care about the future of this state, I think they're as passionate about this beautiful state as I am. And I believe that, you know, that the whole idea of a party label does not, in fact, limit our potential and ability to be able to work together to solve these problems. We can't keep electing Democrats and expect we're going to get a different vision for the future. We've got to elect a Republican. And I believe that right now it's a unique opportunity to be able to share common concerns with Oregonians and recognize shared challenges that we all care about solving and fixing. And to be able to step into that role and work with Oregonians to fix these problems.
Now, while rural Oregon stays leading towards the Republican side, the urban, the metro area is solidly Democratic, especially places like Multnomah County. As a Republican, how do you get through and attract some of those voters?
I am a state representative in Clackamas County myself. I am the last member of the House that has my entire district in the Tri-County area. The majority of my district is in Clackamas County. And the metro area itself is going to be very, very important to, you know, the outcome of this election. But, you know, they're important to the economic future of our state. They have an important voice in the future of our state, and we have to recognize that. While at the same time, we have to begin to bridge the rural urban divide, which I think is all about opportunity. But in the metro area in particular, they have been crushed by the shutdowns under Governor Brown. You've seen a complete shift in the focus and the strength of various communities around here based on the shutdowns and whether or not businesses were able to survive. And anybody that maybe had a restaurant or a hospitality-based business in Portland knows that Democrat leadership during this time has impacted the metro area in a way that's going to take a long time to recover from. We have a unique story to tell right now where we can stand up and we can say we believe in opportunity. I trust Oregonians. I would lead with facts and not fear, and that it's possible to talk to Oregonians about recommendations and share the latest information and allow Oregonians to make decisions that support their own future, the health of their own families, and don't crush the future of their kids or their businesses. And so regardless of party right now, people have been harmed by the decision-making of Democrat supermajorities across our state. And there are folks out there that believe in common sense solutions, and we have got to engage with them, and we've got to tell our story.
You announced officially a few days ago, though many people saw it coming for quite a while. What's the response been overall to your announcement?
I've been very encouraged with the amount of support that people have shown, you know, whether or not they're contributing financially or whether or not they are, you know, offering their support and spreading the word among friends and family. It's just really humbling to be in a position to be able to hear the concerns and the needs of Oregonians and stand up and say, I want to be willing to shoulder those burdens for you. I want to be able to share in these troubles and these challenges and solve these problems together. And people have been very supportive. It's been a very humbling experience to launch this campaign and see so much support. I think people care about fixing Oregon. That's been the theme no matter where I've gone, is that people still love this state. They're committed to the future, and they have just felt like, how do we get out of this? You know, like it's just such a struggle. It's a weight. They're just kind of, you know, navigating day after day under this heavy weight. And what we need to do is work together and recognize that we all know what the problems are, but the problems aren't the problems. The problems are leadership.
How do people connect to your campaign?
You can reach me at christinefororegon.com, and I look forward to being in Roseburg soon.
State Representative Christine Drazen, thanks for being on today.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQAM.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.